Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, and you can hear this on Mintwave Radio, so you can just ask Alexa or go to the website karenrobertscoach.com/mintwave-radio to listen in live or to see the schedule for the rest of the week. If you're listening or watching this on a podcast, again, look at our network. We have Raising Vibrations Podcast Network. Again, go to the website /podcast-network. And you can download the app for Apple and Android and take a look at the other podcasters within there. And please subscribe or follow any that take your fancy and feel free to leave a comment. Now, today's episode is 128. And today we have Nella MX, and she is a psychologist, a coach, and a writer, and we're going to be talking about women's rights and the entertainment industry and the mental health issues that arise from this. And I'm your host, Karen Roberts, the owner of Mintwave Radio Station. If you're a coach, a therapist, a healer, and you'll be interested in having your own show, then again, get in touch. Just go to the website and get in touch with me. So today, Nella, thank you so much for taking your time out today to be speaking with us on a touchy subject, one that is misinterpreted, misunderstood, and we're going to be talking about how this can affect many women throughout the world. So, Nella, how does the entertainment industry affect everyone? And not just those in it.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. First of all, this is a great introduction to what I do. And yes, I just want to say from the beginning why I chose this topic is because I was a dancer in clubs, you know, before I became a psychologist and a coach and a writer. So I have my experience, personal experience, and I see how things work and I know what's going on. So your question is that, like, how it affects everyone. Well, first of all, this industry affects everybody in it. So, like, women and also men who work in this industry, it's not only stripping, it's sex work in general. They experience a lot of traumas. They have to change cognitively. I'm just gonna say, like, this thing, when I was in it, I learned how to make money, how to speak to men, how to walk differently, how to look, how to talk differently, you know, just to make money, you know, and, like, this became part of me, and, like, this becomes part of a person, you know. So now all these people who work in this industry, they have families, they have sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers, so it affects everybody. You know, this is not only one person's story. This is basically story of hundreds and hundreds of people who are in this industry. So it is really a global issue, I would say.
Absolutely. And some have gone into it totally unknowing of what's ahead of them. Some may have, but also many gone into it because of past traumas. So with regards to this, why do you feel that this is an important subject to actually discuss? Because many shy away from it and pretend it's not happening, or they make their judgments on who's in it. Why do you think this is an important conversation to have?
Well, I cited before because this is about hundreds and hundreds women and men who are in this industry. And then, you know, most of these people get in there voluntarily. And I think that's why there is so much judgment about it. You know, it's kind of like attitude that like, oh, you wanted to do it. Oh, you are doing it to yourself. Why you just don't get out? You know, but I always compare it to like, oh, for example, marriage. You get into it voluntarily. You know, that then if your husband beats you up, and everybody knows that it's wrong. You know? So like with this industry, I don't know why like there is always so much judgment going on.
Yeah. You know? And sometimes from themselves. So it's not always judgment from other people, but it's actually how the person is then feeling about themselves. Again, so many, I suppose, young girls get in without any thought of the future. And so that can be put on them as well, can't it?
Yes. And I want to stress out how it is easy to get in there, get into these jobs. Because how it was presented to me, it was just like, oh, you will just dance on the stage and take off your clothes at the end, and that's it. You know, this is how it was. It's always presented as easy money. And, you know, to be like honest with you, you get attention of men. You get so much attention. And, sometimes I felt good even about it. Sometimes I felt like a superstar, you know. But then it wasn't everything. Nobody tells you everything what's going on in there, you know. So like then I was asked, for example, to go out with men, and it was kind of set up to do different activities, you know. Then of course in almost all clubs, girls have to drink. And like this is really a big deal because most of them get addicted to alcohol. And I would say 85% also to some other drugs, which is mostly cocaine. How you can even control yourself? How you can say no if you are constantly drunk? You know,
yeah, it's a position that they're put in, and then I suppose they get used to that environment, and that's going to be the way it goes until
then it's your lifestyle, basically. That's your way to make money, that's how you live, you know. And then how are you gonna even get out, you know? What you should do to get out, like what job can you have? You know, it's really hard. It's very, very hard.
And once you're in, it's difficult to then to get out. I can see how that would be. And I suppose again, it's the people that are around you. And then what can you do after that? It's how the person feels, right? And did you find that a lot of the girls that you work with had the sort of same outlook on it?
Yes, definitely. And even still now, I meet women who never told anybody because they felt ashamed, they felt embarrassed, they didn't want to put their families at risk or something. Sometimes there are safety issues too. And they many times tell me about what kind of traumas they have. And so many times they just simply feel almost like it's coming back. They keep appearing in that same situation, doing that private dance, or like certain cologne will just trigger it, or certain style of talk, somebody's voice will just bring them back, you know. And like imagine they never told anyone, you know.
So they're like, isolated. So they're isolated.
Definitely, yes. Mm-hmm.
So then not just other people's judgments, so that's coming onto them. Then they're feeling that, they're judging themselves, and then yes, feeling like there's a no way out because they don't have any support. What kind of support is available to them?
I think, well, I would say like every responsible mental health person will just treat them non-judgmentally. But we all know that it doesn't happen. You know, even mental health people, even psychologists, coaches are judgmental many times. And you know, many times it's also, many times these girls themselves become basically bitches. You know, because that's what they learn, you know. So like, also because of that, many people don't want to talk to them. And like, if they don't change the behaviors they had in the club, then like they would never even have friends, you know.
Right.
Because
they put up a defense, I suppose. If they're going to be judged, then they may feel like, and it could be subconsciously, they've got to defend also what they do.
Yeah, but also imagine a stripper. Okay, she has these looks and walks. She knows how to deal with men, you know. And then you are with your, let's say, boyfriend, you know, and she's there, they're all like around him. Would you like that? No. You know, so like there is a lot of judgment from women especially, but I feel like it is because they don't know what's going on. You know, these are behaviors that like this girl learned in the business, you know. And like, many times this is the hardest thing to change, you know. It really like took me years to change this, you know. And I had to observe myself really carefully, you know, what I was doing and how I was approaching people, especially men, you know. Because you learn to see every man as a source of money, you know. So that's really hard to change that,
right? And like you say, it's going to be subconscious, because if they've been doing it a while, they've learned all these how to react, and so then they're taking it home with them. They can't sort of get out of, you know, putting on an act, I suppose. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And then you want to change, you want something else, but like then you know that you kind of participated in this shit, you know. And it's not easy to say that like I was the one who was doing this, you know.
And I suppose that's where the judgment comes in, is other people out there, other women, other men will say, well, you know, you went in there. Which is very, it's just showing absolutely no compassion. Because like we said, I suppose a lot of them possibly start when they're very young, and they didn't know. They didn't know the long-term effects of them. So, I mean, regards to that, I suppose, I mean, there must be short-term and long-term costs for these workers.
I want to say also something that I think I was really lucky that like nothing that bad happened to me, but I've seen girls being cut, being beaten, being raped, and yeah, I've seen girls being killed, really right. In line of job, and that's just unacceptable.
Unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. So what are the real implications for these girls? I mean, like you say, it's very difficult to get out. Mm-hmm. And even just in the short term, you know, what do they do and how is it really affecting them?
Yes, I spoke about trauma a little bit that basically many times it just keeps coming back, you know. Basically, I would say even like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, many of them have it, many of them have flashbacks, many of them cannot sleep, they keep like going back to that. Then it's the cognitive changes, you know, changes of the behavior that have to be done, because they have this learned behaviors that are not adaptive in other environments. And so, So like they need to change those. And then I think the hardest one is really substance abuse. And I honestly always recommend to stop drinking completely, but most girls continue drinking, unfortunately, or using drugs.
Mm-hmm. And that's their coping. That's mm-hmm. their coping mechanism.
Yes, exactly.
So the two must feed then each other. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So to get out of that, so they don't feel so bad about themselves. It just sounds like a terrible spiral that mm-hmm. I can imagine in the beginning. They never expected to do it. I mean, I'm...
Well, definitely not. No.
No. Well, I mean, I can remember I wanted to go to dancing. No, they're not going to tell you that. I can remember I wanted to go to dancing school. I didn't get in. So, exactly. It's hindsight. It's a wonderful thing. But even I can remember back then knowing that once I wanted to be a dancer, but once I would have come out to get your green card, I'm sure, I don't know how things have changed, but... And obviously I'm in a different country, but in order to get work, you know, on the stage, I'm not talking about stripping, just to getting dancing work, you would have had to have done something like 6 months work, maybe overseas. And that could be podium dancing. I mean, I did at one point do some podium dancing I did Animazioni when I lived in Milan. Oh, and I, with a friend of mine, and we would go for some auditions and we'd go in there and think, no, can't see any podiums. This isn't a club. No, hang on. This looks like a gentleman's club. And we get up and walk out. But that makes me think back to some of the dancers. They're just taking the work. They've got to, if they've got to survive, then they're just going to take the work. So I can imagine how easy it could have been to fall into that. Because, I mean, obviously, I'm, you know, a lot older. So I'm going back a long time. I'm going back about 30-odd years. But... yeah, I can remember being told that's what would have had to happen just for me to get, the license, I suppose, to get work. But, yeah, how do you know how seedy some of these places could have been?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you, I was a dancer. When I had my dance group, we were doing a hip-hop dance, jazz dance, you know, but I would always get these responses from men that, like, if I can dance topless, if I can undress, if I can do this, that, you know. And I think if a girl looks maybe a little bit good, she would face this. She would face this all the time. And I was in, for example, modeling agencies, they were really good name. They asked me if I was going to do naked pictures, and I was 15 years old.
Right.
You know?
So, and now we're finding out about this. We're finding out more about this.
And on all the time. And I feel like this is always happening to young girls. you know. So I want everybody to know this is not the line of work you want to be in. This is not the position where you want to be, because just to entertain men all the time, you know, just to be this doll who fulfills their imaginations or like some kind of sick, you know, desires, that's not a good life. That's really, really not what you want, no matter how much they pay you.
Well, we're hearing about it now, aren't we, with the whole entertainment industry. So, you know, it's not just people who go into stripping fully. As we now know, you know, a lot of these actresses, it's all come back with the Weinstein and all of this, that, you know, pressure has been put on them if they wanted to act, if they wanted to sing, if they wanted to dance. Yes. And, you know, no, it's not acceptable. You know, just because you want to dance and make money, that was definitely a goal of mine years ago. So I was lucky that didn't get in. I could never lose enough weight. That was my problem. Got through the audition and failed the physical. So, but saving grace.
Good.
Yeah. Well, there
Don't
you go.
Forget about that. Yeah.
And it's only just being spoken about, isn't it? It's only just being spoken out about.
Yes, and I love to see this, even though, you know, I feel like they always bring up one case. It's like, for example, Weinstein. I wanna stress out, this is the whole industry. It works like this. This industry works on sexual favors. And it happened to me all the time that I had communication with some men, not about stripping, and like it was like, well, you can discuss it with me in a hotel room, or like I had interview and the guy took me to his bedroom and I was like, what? I'm not doing this, and I left. And I had men taking my hand, putting it into their crotches. You know, so like this is going on all the time.
And this has been for years. Now we realize it has been going on for years. Well, I mean, even down to the Marilyn Monroe stories that are coming out. And, you know, it has, you know, this isn't anything new. It's just that it wasn't spoken about.
Yes, but you would think that it would improve, right?
Because you'd hope.
Yeah, with all this equality movement and this stuff, and I just feel like it didn't change, you know. And I don't know why, because when I see women in this situation, this is just the biggest degradation of women in the whole world. And I know that like most women don't go to like brothels, you know, for example, but I've been there, and what I've seen, I wanted to throw up, honestly. You know, I've seen an establishment with 100 women, 100 beautiful young girls waiting for a man. And the man could be nasty, disgusting, stinky. He puts money down. He can do whatever he wants with whomever he wants. You know, and I could not even process this. And still, I cannot wrap my head around this. You know, how this can still exist.
Well, you just said there, you know, you'd think that things would have improved. Do you think things have actually got worse? I mean, you know, girls are being trafficked all over the world. I don't know whether it's because we know more about it and things are starting to be said, or that it's actually getting worse. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I don't think it's getting worse. I think it's always been really bad, to be honest. we just didn't know. But what I see happening in the recent years, it's more boys, actually. young boys are actually trafficked more than girls. That's what I
horrific
see.
Absolutely horrific.
Which is again horrible, you know. And I don't advocate for women only. You know, this is anybody can be in this position.
Mm. Whether they wanted to or not. Mm-hmm. And it's actually different. It doesn't matter. It's either way. And this is the thing. It's people could need to stop passing judgment either way, really. Oh either gosh. Way. It's just not
Thank
acceptable
so
to
much.
Be beaten. It's not acceptable to be degraded like that. You just wanted to dance. And I can relate
so
to that. You
much.
Just wanted to dance.
Thank you so much for saying this because it doesn't matter if somebody pushes you into it or you start doing it voluntarily, you know, damage is the same. This all people are scarred by this business, and if they need help, and the help can be just understanding, you know, can be just listening, you know, if that can help to anyone, please do it.
So what is out there that can help these girls? I mean, can it be just fear of just not being able to leave? Do they feel stuck, not just physically, but mentally as well?
Oh, yes, definitely. Well, I would say, it's hard to talk about this, people who are in the industry because they, probably don't listen to us, or I don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. But yes, I definitely recommend mental health, definitely, you know. And if you want to talk to me, you know, you can always contact me. I would talk more to their close ones, you know, to friends or family members. Because most of the time they kind of know what she is doing, but nobody says anything and so on. What you said, please don't judge. And these girls might not be nice, you know, but still they need help.
But and even then, you said, if they've been isolated from their friends and family outside the industry, you know, it might be difficult for them to, you know, have anybody to reach out to. And again, the fear of being judged, the fear of being you know, making them feel the feelings of shame, you know, it's natural to want to avoid those. So
I had this feeling, and I still have it, that nobody really gets it. Nobody really understands me, you know? It's very hard to talk about it. Then when I start talking, so many times the women come to me and they tell me, listen, I have this experience too, and I did this, and, you know, and I am shocked, you know, many times. So these are just thousands of untold stories, really.
Because they're afraid to speak up.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So with regards to what you're doing, so you're out there, you're trying to help these women, and you've written a book.
Yes, my book. So so I started writing it a long time ago, and I just took a pen and wrote 50 pages, and I didn't know what I was doing. It was just some kind of inspiration, and I had to do it. And it was done, and I just left it in my desk, you know, and it was sitting there for 10 years. And and then I was cleaning up, and I found it, and I read it, and I was like, wow, this is actually good. So how I see it, it was a healing experience for me. And like, basically, there were all the steps of like mental work that I did unconsciously, you know, like traumas that I had to process, changing my values, cognitive reconstructuring. So it is in there with like presenting the whole entertainment industry and how it works, you know. And then, you know, after I read it, after like so many years, I just saw it from a distance, and it kind of gave me this opportunity to see it as a global issue, you know, as a system, not like only nice story, but something that can help future generations, you know. And so like, because of that, I decided to come out with it, you know. And of course, it's been like edited like 100 times, and yes, but it's coming
but
out.
Well done. It's, I mean, it's very brave. It's very brave of you for stepping up. And like you said, so for you, it was a healing journey for yourself. So do you think that because you've left it and moved on, when you've refound it, you were able to look back from a different viewpoint?
Yes. Oh, yes, completely. Yes. Yes.
Because when you're in it, when you're in it, so what do you think for you, what was it that helped you get out? I mean, that must have taken some, like we've just said, it's very difficult for girls to get out of it. But somehow you found some inner strength. I mean, did you do the work yourself? Did you get help?
Okay. So what happened, I think usually it happens like this, that like you simply have to hit the rock bottom, basically. So what happened to me, when I was in Switzerland in one club, I was basically constantly drunk, you know, as I said, and I was just doing more and more for like money, private dances all the time. And then I went to like many parties, and I was given some laced drugs, I would say. And the next day I experienced complete full-blown withdrawal symptoms. Right. That was like for a week. Like I saw skeletons coming out of the walls, blood on the street. It was just, I was very, very sick. But what like happened after that was that like that night I fell in the club, and I simply couldn't get up, and I couldn't move. I couldn't control myself. And I just felt like my brain couldn't control my body, that I was done, and I knew I was dying, and I don't know why I didn't die. Something happened there, you know, maybe like some, you know, spirit helped me. But it lasted like a minute or two. And then I came to myself, and then I said, I'm done. And I was done.
Right.
And I just simply left. And I feel like I left to survive, you know?
Right. to help others. I mean, and this is what, you know, many coaches, many authors, when they, you know, they say the same thing. They've either written their book, it's been part of their healing journey. And and things like that that happen, yeah. Right? So for you to come through that now, and now what you're doing is trying to help others. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And thank you.
Oh, thank you
for being so open and sharing your story. That's and hopefully that's going to be an inspiration to others.
Yes,
that they can reach out and get help.
Yes.
To get them out of that situation. I mean, do you think, you know, we talk about women getting out of it. Yeah, it sounds like, okay, it took you to hit total rock bottom. We don't want women to hit rock bottom before they get help. You know, is it possible? Is it, you know, is this industry ever going to go away? I mean, there's a demand for it. Can things improve? Is there light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, you know, I've been thinking a lot about what does it really give to men? You know, why a man goes to a strip club? What do you think, actually? What do you think?
I think in the beginning, it's just a bit of male on male, bit of show off. It could start like that, and then I suppose maybe it's almost an addiction. I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? Like with the whole industry, like, you know, the kids are growing up because there's too much available to them. It's too easy for them to get hold of any porn or anything. I mean, you know, years ago, upbringing, you'd have the top shelf for magazines, and things just weren't that easy. Now, everything is so easily accessible, and these boys seem to be growing up, and they've got no reality check of what a relationship is, of how a woman's supposed to be, and it does. I do feel like things are almost getting worse because of this sort of lack of respect. I think things got better and better. I'm a 90s chick. You know, I think things were great. And I think since then, things have been going the other way.
Yeah, you know, I just feel like because like a strip club, what does it give to men? There is no sex. So like, what is it? Some kind of imagination, or like, what is it? You know, and I really came to conclusion that it is probably that like power, that like he can choose a girl from like hundreds of girls. He can choose whoever he wants, and she would just have to do whatever he wants, you know, and that's it. Yeah, but I don't know. Well, I know some men, some friends go there just for fun, you know. I think that's what it is. But then what does this bring to the whole society? Nothing.
And it's actually not serving them either. They're not healthy mentally.
Yes,
it's not helping them at all, but they think it is. And like you say, I suppose the power, maybe it is they, you know, if they were left to their own devices, most women would have turned them down, because they didn't have the skills. They didn't have the communication skills or the know-how, how to be respectful to a woman. So that's, I mean, nobody can, you know, because we don't think like that. I suppose we're never going to understand this kind of thing. And men are more visual creatures. We are more, you know, we're feely. We need emotional support rather than that. I mean, that's a whole other story, I suppose. It's a whole other podcast.
Yes, it is.
But do you think, you know, things can? Do you think that we're ever going to go away from this industry? Are things ever going to improve?
You know, it's about money. There is a lot of money in it. And all it is. And I want everyone, people who work there or go there, to understand this. That like this, somebody is making money on this. Somebody is making money on you, and it is a huge amount of money. So don't give it to them. you know. Mm. Yeah, but
and it's not going, it's not just going to the girls, is it?
Oh no. Oh no, nobody cares about the girls, how much the girl makes, you know. Most of it goes for the club, you know, and like who runs clubs, you know. This is what I basically experienced it in like almost all countries, or all countries that like these establishments are usually run by organized crime, really. You know,
yes. So that's the danger.
Money in there, you know.
Yeah, and then that's going to make it more difficult for the girls to get out. And I suppose, yeah, are they going to have? Do any of them have a plan B? Is that the reason why they get stuck?
Well, some start. For example, they want to make money to buy a house, or like they need to support family. That like then they get stuck. They get stuck. They just never buy the house, and just things go wrong, you know, most of the time.
Right. So I suppose when they're young, if they're trying to pay their way through uni, which I suppose is a common thing you would hear about, because rather than waiting tables, they've got into it purely just for the money. In their heads, they're only going to do it for a year or whatever, because they want to subsidize their education, maybe, some of them. And then, like you say, maybe they don't end up going to uni because they get caught up in this. Like, as you said right at the beginning, they get caught up with the drink and the drugs, which is going to help them have start up maybe more conversations with them and then get stuck in it. So yeah. I suppose not a lot of or maybe they did do a bit of future planning, but it's all gone out the window for them.
Yes, exactly. It's done. It's done after few months in this industry. It's done, you know. And then like what you might end up with like good sugar daddies. And I say right now, if you have one good one, take him. You use his money to get out.
To get out. Get out. Yeah. And that is the danger. So, I mean, obviously they've got to deal with a lot of mental health issues first, I suppose, or does that come after? I mean, there's obviously, they've got to, I suppose, have an exit strategy, do you think, before they can actually get out, or just get out and then deal with it afterwards?
Yeah, that's what I would say, because how are you even gonna change if you are in the same environment, you know, and you need money? But I counted how much money I needed to survive for 1 year, and I decided to get out. Once I have this money, then I was gonna get out, and I did it. And so I made the money in like 1 month, you know, and I left. And that was it. You know, but I still had those behaviors, you know. And even like after that, I would, plus I had same friends, you know. So like I always had this like opportunities to continue, you know. And that was really, really hard. It's like environment. If you don't change environment, is just almost impossible.
I mean, so from what you're sharing today, I mean, it sounds like a similar process for anybody that has an addiction to drugs, you know, or alcoholism, that they've got to cut ties. And you've got to take somebody out of their environment, because otherwise it's going to be quick, easy back. So you know, some people, again, it's people's perceptions, isn't it? They might give more sympathy to an alcoholic, less sympathy to a drug addict, and even less sympathy to a woman that's come out of that environment. And aren't they all the same? They're all addictions. They're all it's all affecting their mental health. And yet one is seen as okay-ish and everybody else passing judgment down on the others. But from what you've shared with me and from when I've spoken to other people dealing, you know, or helping people deal with any kind of addiction, you know, at the end of the day, it sounds like the same thing.
Yes. I really don't want to say this, but like many times the girls themselves, you know, are really not nice, you know. You know, you don't come out of this industry and you are just a nice person. No.
Well, they've had to toughen up.
You know,
well, you've had to harden up.
And I know that I had this lifestyle, you know, and I used to, I would never use public transportation, like never, you know, and everywhere where I would go by limo or like somebody would have to drive me. Then like I would never cook. Never in my life. I went always to a good restaurant, you know, then like shopping, you know, and I was used to like men paying, you know, for me, you know, so it sounds like
all new
kind of like
see.
A good lifestyle, you know,
but it wasn't that good. I suppose that's the trap. That's the trap, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's too easy.
You pay for it, you know, in a different way. Yeah. And then, I always say just like to be somebody's whore, it's not worth it. It's not.
No. But this isn't just about the, you know, this isn't just a women's issue. This is down to the men. I suppose at the end of the day, it's the men that can change it.
You know, this is a really, really great point. And I try to talk to men, you know, because I know there are so many good men in this world, you know, who don't agree with this, but they don't know what to do. You know? And men who have daughters, sisters, you know, and they care.
And they've all got a mum. That's or they all had a mum. You know, if we got everyone's got a mum.
Yeah.
So where do you think this all comes from? This whole, you know, to treat a woman like an object. Where is this all coming from? I mean, they'll say it's the oldest tradition, won't they? But
yes. Well, I think it is. Well,
not like, tradition. Sorry.
What was the first job that like
first given job? That's school, what I meant.
Right? Yes, exactly. But I can't believe that it still prevails, and I can't understand it. You know, we really should like pass this.
Yes, it does need to be addressed. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, even down to, so over here, you know, what we would call city boys, you know, the boys working in the City of London for the big banks, you know, it just be common knowledge. You know that they're taking out clients. Where are they taking them?
Exactly.
I mean, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's, all it's nowhere, just a huge... Right? Yeah, it's a huge insult to women. I mean, I feel sorry for a wife of a city boy because you know where they're going. So there you go. The demand needs to stop, but will that ever? But with your book, you've got a book coming out, and hopefully that can. I mean, what was your goal with writing? Okay, you wrote the book for you to heal you in the beginning and then left it for 10 years. So now, where you're at now, I mean, I know that you're helping lots of women, not just from that industry, but you're helping coach women to, I suppose, build their own self-esteem. And but for this particular project with this book, what is your goal? What is your desire? What can this do for women?
Yeah, so So it developed into something completely different. It developed basically into a book of transformation, really, you know, and how to go from like point A to point B, what you have to do mentally. And the book shows it, I would say it shows it in like very subtle way that it kind of doesn't like disrupt the story, mm-hmm. you know. And then again, it shows this as a global issue. This is a global problem. So again, if we can bring it up at like meetings of higher level, that would be great, you know, because we all know this is going on. So like, why like nobody does anything?
Because people don't want to bring it up.
Nobody wants to do anything, you know.
Yeah, and they don't want to bring it up. It's a hard conversation to have. And like you know, for being so brave and speaking up, many women, they don't want to talk about it. Maybe they want to, if they've come out of it, they want to forget that part of their life. But is that helping them? Is it about being in denial and totally leaving that part behind?
You know, I speak with like many girls with this past, and like they just tell me, you know what, I'm just happy that I'm alive, that I still live.
Wow.
You know.
But that's not thriving.
That's something that you really can't say anything to, you know. Mm. And I understand it because I was there. I was the same because I left because I thought I was going to die. And like this I hear from like almost all of them. Like I knew I would die. I was dying, you know, or because they were raped or beaten up, or they had to make money for somebody else, or something else happened to them. You know, sometimes it's also environmental, because you hang up with these guys from like organized crime, you know, and you might also witness things that you really don't want to, but it happened, you know. Yeah, so it really can be safety issue.
Again, it sort of sounds like, you know, it's a similar pathway than, you know, from any battered woman, you know, anybody that's been a victim of domestic violence. Again, it sounds the same thing, that it could be the fear of leaving, because the fear of violence, and what, you know, what have they seen? And it's a very sad state.
Yes, but it is interesting that you said like victims of domestic violence, you know, because like these women are not considered victims, you know. And I think that's the thing, you know.
Yes.
Because even like because of that it is so hard to come out and speak, because sometimes you have to say I did it, and I think that's much harder than to say somebody did it to me.
You know? But it's actually the same thing.
Yes.
You're still a human. We're still human beings that do not deserve to be treated like that. Because somebody, when they were young, made a bad choice, you don't know the circumstances. You don't know the circumstances of it, and there shouldn't be any judgment either. Because regardless whether they thought they were doing the right thing for them at that time, in their you know, naive, I suppose it doesn't even matter about the age, does it? It's just bad choice. And they still deserve the same help as anybody. And like you say, there's a different outlook on somebody coming out of a domestic violence situation, and it should be exactly the same for somebody trying to come out of this situation.
Yes. And I just want to say one thing that I actually work a lot with men, which is interesting, but like men come to me a lot. So as a coach and psychologist, and I have really, really interesting conversations with men.
Right. Yeah,
I still like men despite all this, you know, and I can still work with them and like them. Yeah.
Right, yeah, because it's not every man that's frequenting the places or treating the women with disrespect. It's not every man, is it? But you can imagine that many women may struggle coming out of that, but which is why it's so important to heal, why it's so important to know, you know, and deal with past trauma that, you know, why did they get in the industry in the first place? Could it be because of a lack of a father or abuse or some kind of trauma? And you know, I'm sure a lot of the times that there is something that's happened in their past.
You know, now like I'm going to say something that like people don't like to hear, but most girls are from normal families.
Wow. Yeah, well, okay.
There is really not much going on. It's like really like environmental. Their best friend takes them there, or like friends, even like family members, you know, and then they get sucked into it, you know. And again, at like the beginning, they might feel good about themselves, and I think that's the main issue. When you are a new girl, everybody wants you, you make the money, and you might feel really, really good, but after like three months, you are not the new girl anymore. And then what?
And it's too late. Know?
Yeah,
it's
right?
It's too late. They're caught in the lifestyle.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Look, thank you so much for your time today and for being so open and honest about the situation. And it is a conversation that needs to be had. So for the listeners there, how do they get hold of your book?
Yes, so my book is on Amazon. And the name is A Stripper from Japan through Switzerland into the deepest secrets of her soul. So please get it. It's gonna entertain you, but also you will see different dynamics there and different levels how you can see all this industry and how it works.
So is your goal to try and change people's perception and to stop the judgment? Is that your goal?
Yeah, that's one of them, yes. And like another one is to help people who are stuck in this situation too, you know, who feel like they have no understanding, nobody knows what's going on, and they cannot talk to anybody. They can always come to me and talk to me. Please do.
So how would they get in touch with you? So to the listeners, because we'll have all your details if they're watching the video,
yes,
they'll have all your details below here. But to any of the listeners, how would they get in touch with you?
Yes, yeah, so I think the best is Facebook, PM me, DM me, or my email. Yeah.
Okay. Email. So how would they, what's your email. Facebook? What's your Facebook account? What's it under?
Yeah, so like you can just do Nella MX, my name, and I think it's like it's the same everywhere.
Okay. Nella NELLAHMX. Awesome.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And the email is the same, NellaMX@gmail.com, basically.
Perfect. Well, yes, thank you so much for taking your time. Yeah, get in touch.
There is
and
help.
Yes, if you know anybody, if you have a friend that you know has got into the industry, then you can help. There is help out there for them. So once again, thanks for your time. And to the rest of you, I will be back on Thursday with a Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast. a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs, from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.